Church, say amen.
Amen.
We've been blessed by God to be here today.
Yes.
To be able to see the wonderful sunrise and to experience these songs of Zion early on Saturday morning.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. I thank God for the opportunity, the invitation to come and just to be a part of a day of devotion and fellowship and praise to God this morning. I've been given a text. I've been given a few moments to speak on this text, and I will try to be as timely as possible.
That's
but
right.
There's a lot to say out of this text.
Amen.
But I want to just drop, as the preachers would say, a nugget in your hearing today, just to kind of lift you up and give you some insight and some encouragement as Paul writes this letter to this young gospel preacher, Timothy. I'm overwhelmed with joy this morning.
Amen.
Because God continues to let me be part of his family.
Yeah.
And songs like that that we just got done singing ought to make you want to shout.
Amen.
Just ought to make you want to just be happy.
Yeah.
Even if you're feeling down and out, or you may not be feeling good, or you're sad, mad, upset. I mean, whatever the case may be. When you hear songs about how real God is,
amen,
you begin to see the goodness of who he is in your life.
Yeah.
And how he's brought you and where he's brought you from. That ought to change your tune. You ought to be in step with the Almighty so much so that whatever was on your nerves ain't on your nerves no
Amen.
More. Whatever was pulling you down is not pulling you down no more. Matter of fact, you're pulling it up to where you're trying to go. And that is trying to be in the presence of God, holy and without blame. But I want to look this morning at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to be in verse 1, really. But just for some contextual setting and some clarity, I want to read from the NIV this morning, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I appreciate you, Brother Jay, for reading that word to us this morning with such energy. You know, I appreciate the fact that you've been over that before because you read it like you read it before. That's appreciative. Amen. You know, you don't want nobody getting up who ain't been reading the Bible. Amen. You want to make sure that they are invested themselves in the word so that the people of God can receive it. But let me read it from the New International Version just to give some clarity and direction and directive for the word this morning. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, Paul says, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me, Paul says, in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules.
Amen.
The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And I'll drop verse 7 in there as well. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this.
Amen.
Paul is writing, no doubt, from a Roman prison. He's writing to this young gospel preacher, Timothy. Timothy, no doubt, is in Ephesus, a place where people are just so entangled with themselves and the cares of this world that he's having to combat the outsiders as well as the insiders.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is he's merely having to stand firm and stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ, for those who are outside opposing, as well as those members in the body of Christ who just ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul encourages him and he reminds him, hold firm to what you know. Stand fast on God and his word and forget about the rest of the stuff.
Amen.
Because if you get caught up in that stuff, you're going to forget why you're here. You're going to forget your purpose, the ministry which you've received by the laying on the hands of the Presbyterian. It's encouraging to note that Paul would open up chapter 2 with these words, and this is where I want to hang out this morning. He says, ye then, my son, be strong in what? The grace that is where? In Christ Jesus. Now, I know we're talking about and we want to hurry and rush through these scriptures and get down to, you know, remaining faithful and commit these things to faithful men. But you're not going to be faithful if you don't know who and what's done, been done for you.
Yeah.
If you don't understand who you are in Christ and whose you are in Christ and who and what he's done for you in your life, you won't be faithful to that. If I came and gave $1 million to you and paid off all your debts, amen, that didn't come out the million, by the way. I paid off all your debts and put a little bit of spending cash like $1 million in your pocket. I think me and you will have a good relationship. Amen. I think you might be pretty faithful to me. Amen. I think that there'd be a sense of, you know, urgency if I call needing your help because I've done something for you. Yep. And so Paul addresses Timothy and he tells him that, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to look this morning at just a small little idea. His grace will sustain you. His grace will sustain you. And what I'm saying is his grace will sustain your faith. His grace will sustain your family. And his grace will sustain your fellowship.
Amen.
You have to invest in the one who has invested inside of you. Now, I know what everybody else is doing. But for today, you don't want to focus on what everybody else is doing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Don't look at your neighbor. Just look at you. Look inside yourself and let Paul address you in a manner as he addressed Timothy, okay, as a son. And I think that's important to note here because first out the gate, Paul says, my son. I want to kind of just clear the air real quickly and let everybody in here know in the presence of God, you are a child, not an adult.
That's for sure. That's right.
Can I say that again?
Yeah, you better say that again.
In the presence of God, you are a child and not an adult. And the reason why I say that is because if you're going to enlist yourself to or give yourself over to the one who has enlisted you, you got to know your position.
Yeah.
You got to know where you stand in him. You don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. And he uses sometimes his ministers or his manservants or prophets in times of old to get across the message. And Paul says, even to Timothy, my son. And it's not wonder why he would greet him in such capacity as to say, you know, when I came along in your life, Timothy, you had some strong women in your life. Praise God for the women.
Amen.
Amen. I was just telling my pop the other day, most of my study and learning has been taught to me by women.
Yeah.
I know that's quiet and ain't nobody wanting to talk,
amen,
about that. Amen.
Amen.
But where are the men?
Mm.
Are you listening to me? Just hang close. It's going to be a little rough this morning, but we're going to get to the good stuff. You'll see the encouragement in just a moment. Paul came in and saw that there was a need to take Timothy under his wing,
yeah,
and to remind him that that's a great foundation you receive from your mother and your grandmother Lois and Eunice, but I need to take you where God wants you to be. Here's how I'm going to do it. Stand firm. Stand strong. Remember the things you were taught and let the Lord lead you in the direction where you need to go. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know. Amen. I know. And I know. But he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This grace word in the Greek is called charis, which brings about these few ideas. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life of a person, which includes gratitude, favor, a gift of joy, liberality. Grace is also that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, and sweetness.
Amen.
Y'all hang in there with me now.
Amen.
Grace is the favor of the mercy, merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon our souls, turns us to Christ. It keeps us, it strengthens us, increases us in our Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and it kindles us to exercise the Christian virtues and values that Jesus had portrayed in his life.
Amen.
And I want to just kind of encourage us right there, because before you can be faithful, you got to know what you've received.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if I again remind us of the song we just sang about how real God is, what does that do to you? How does that affect you? You know, what does that lead you to want to experience and say about your God? Told my father the other day, oftentimes, you know, we get up as brothers, elders, ministers, you know, leaders, and we ask the church, how you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
It's time out for how you feeling. Amen.
Amen.
It's about how you thinking.
How you thinking.
What do you think about your God this morning?
Mm-hmm.
When he came by your house,
mm-hmm,
that is mercy,
uh-huh,
and it grace tapped you on the shoulder,
yeah,
and said, wake up, my
wake
child.
Up.
What did you think about that?
Mm.
How did it make you feel? Because if it made you feel good when you got here, amen, this morning at 9 o'clock, you ought to have something to shout about.
Amen.
There ought to have been something on your lips that brought forth praise to God.
Amen.
Because the very fact that he woke you up for one more sunny day, you ought to be thankful for that. Amen. And we always want to, you know, rally or have a preacher rally and pump us up, but we ought to come pumped.
Yeah.
Amen. We ought to be ready to go when we get here. Y'all ought to be really and ready for a word from the Lord this morning.
Come on.
Amen. Time shouldn't matter.
Don't matter.
The things that you have to do shouldn't matter.
Don't matter.
Amen. Don't misunderstand me now. I know we got stuff to do, but what's greater than giving God some praise?
Amen.
That's why Paul said, I want you to hang in there, Timothy, and be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes stuff's going to go down in your life is what I'm saying.
Amen.
And if you're not rooted and grounded in the grace of God, if you're not strong in his grace, realizing and recognizing what he's done for you, the devil going to snuff you out.
Yeah.
He's going to take you out the picture. He's going to steal your joy.
Yeah.
Yesterday I got a phone call of some stuff that went south or some plans that I had that wasn't going to work out. And the devil tried to steal my joy yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And I didn't let him.
Amen.
I said, the devil is a lie. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Must have been according to God's will and plan. Now, that's interesting, and I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but I want you to watch this. Because if you're going to be strong in his grace, you got to recognize what grace really is.
Yeah.
Did y'all deserve to be here this morning?
No.
Raise your hand if you deserve to be here this morning. But grace said you can be here this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, how do you feel about that?
I feel good.
Doesn't it make you feel good? I want you to watch the text because you'll find there, as Paul writes to Timothy, there's three areas of characteristics or position that he talks about. The first one is about the soldier. He talks about how a soldier has to enlist himself or give himself over to the one that enlisted him. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. Some of y'all looking at me funny. Okay, but I want you to look at verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. When God woke you up this morning, did you try to please him?
Well,
amen.
Amen.
Did you try to make him happy?
Mm.
I love my Auntie Ann because she says when she wake up in the morning, she says, good morning, Jesus. How are you today? Amen. She wants to know and she wants him to know that I understand that you woke me up this morning.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that you woke me up. So I want to live my life all day today to please you.
Amen.
What is it you want me to do? Do you want me to smile big all day? I'm going to smile. I'm going to give you, God, everything that you're asking of me because I understand the grace that I've received from you. Secondly, verse 5. Similarly, Paul says, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules.
That's right.
We're talking about an athlete. And lastly, we deal with, as Paul writes in verse number 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops.
Amen.
Why? Because he's hardworking. So three different areas he lists. He lists the soldier, he lists the athlete, and he lists the farmer. Now let me throw you just three things I think that'll help you understand their position. The soldier, number one, he's dutiful.
Hmm. Amen.
Uh-oh.
He's dutiful.
That's right.
He gonna do what he told to do.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, the athlete. He's disciplined.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He's got to make sure he wins.
Amen.
What point is it to train and not expect to win? Amen.
Amen.
Just like us, what's the point of being a believer and not planning to go to heaven?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heaven's right now, if you would. At least this is the dress rehearsal to get to where we're trying to go.
Yeah.
Look here, let me tell you like this. I don't mean no harm right along in here, but sometimes some of the places you go and where you're at and worship, sometimes it'd be like, man, I hope that ain't what heaven's like. Amen. I don't mean no harm. But when you truly know what he's done for you, you got some praise in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. How y'all feel? Y'all feel all right?
Look,
then we back to the same thing again. How you feeling?
How you feeling?
And you know why I'm asking that? Because y'all looking stone-faced. Look here, people. Sometimes you have to allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. Excuse
Amen.
Me, let me retract that. You must always allow yourself to be led by the Spirit.
That's right.
Because if you're led by your feelings and emotions, you ain't going to be feeling it sometimes.
No. Nope.
Every time the word is preached, I'm ready.
Amen.
Okay, who teaching? That word out there, let's talk. Let's get it on.
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk about how good God is.
Yes, sir.
Y'all tell me something about how good God is. How good is he?
He's great.
He's great. Oh, he's awesome. What else?
He's all power.
All right, he's omnipotent. All right, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. What else?
He's all loving.
He's loving. Amen. He's so loving, he saved me. What else?
He's forgiving.
He's forgiving. Oh, man, mercy? What are you talking about, mercy? Mercy, the vehicle that sin grace by woke you up. You see how that works?
Yeah.
See, when you realize what he's done for you, that energy feeds you. The spirit that we have inside of us is designed to bring us in the presence of God as happy and joyful people.
Amen.
Amen. But you can't have that if you ain't been disciplining yourself.
Yeah.
That's amen. Right. If all you got during the course of the week is your job, when you get in on Sunday morning, that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Your job.
Your job.
But even past us, that's not only what we're going to get, that's what you're going to give God.
Amen. That's right.
It's about GT time, God time. What do you do during the course of your week that's disciplining yourself and your mind to do what God wants you to do? We have a daily devotional reading that we have. It's a 1-minute devotional, this little book that we were blessed with on Father's Day, and we read it every day. It has a little 1-minute devotional every day. And a couple of days ago, this devotional talked about being in Christ. You've been transformed.
Yeah.
And he made mention, the writer does, that in Christ you didn't receive information. Mm-hmm. You didn't receive reformation. Mm-hmm. You didn't receive alteration. Mm-hmm. You received transformation. And that's good to me, because that makes me know and understand it ain't about information.
No.
It ain't about reformation. Not concerned about alteration. I'm concerned about the transformation that he did with me.
Amen.
I was once a sinner.
Yeah.
Now I'm a saint.
Saint.
Say amen,
amen
when you can. See, that's some shouting stuff. Y'all talking about encouragement. Y'all talking about being lifted up for tomorrow morning. There's where it is.
That's it.
The grace of God allows you to be a saint.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. When you sin, you're not a sinner. You just sinned.
Amen.
You're a saint that sinned. Amen. You've received Christ,
yes,
so you're
sir.
No longer a sinner.
That's right.
You're a sinner saved by grace and mercy. And when you become a saint,
amen,
and you sin, you get an opportunity to go and confess that you messed up, and it restores you back to sainthood all over again. Y'all going back to sleep. It's all right. But I'm talking about an individual who understands what God has done for them. They discipline themselves in their mind. And then thirdly, the farmer. The farmer is dependent. He's waiting on God. It ain't about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I got one little quick illustration story from the Word of God, and I'm going to sit down. Y'all got a few minutes?
Yeah.
Go to Exodus chapter 17.
Uh-oh.
It's blessed my life, and I pray it'll bless yours as well. But I want you to see something here about the grace that is in it comes from God. When you understand what God has done for you and what he's doing for you, and he'll continue to do for you, it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of the mind here these days when folk get to saying, you know, well, I'm just not a people person. Well, you just ain't must have bumped into Christ yet. Are you listening to me? Well, I'm shy. Well, you must not have bumped into Jesus yet. Because when you bump into Jesus and he changes your life,
then
you got something to talk about.
Amen.
Amen. You might have been shy, but now you open. You ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
Amen. What's better than talking about Jesus?
Nothing.
What would you rather talk about than Jesus? Nothing. Matter of fact, truth be told, we're here today to talk about who?
Jesus.
Amen. So how y'all feel about Jesus? Someone said he's all right. That's all right. Y'all go on back to sleep. Exodus chapter 17. The Bible here is recorded, and it is dealing with Israel. Israel has left chapter 14 out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, under the hand of Pharaoh in bondage. They left out, the Bible says, with the mighty hand of God. And they move into a capacity as to come to a Red Sea where, you know, naturally, you know, Moses has to stand upon the rock with the rod in his hand and reveal unto the people again the salvation of the Lord, that he is with them. And it's interesting, no sooner than they are let out and, you know, they get to see, you know, the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea, chapter 15, they got a song to sing.
Yeah.
Amen. Message up in there.
Yeah.
Don't miss that. When you've been delivered, you got to have a song to sing. Amen. You got something to shout about. Y'all ever been delivered from something?
Yes.
Y'all all to say, yeah,
amen.
Sin.
Amen.
I've been delivered from sin.
Yes, sir.
Not that sin doesn't plague me or it's not always present or I can't fall into sin, but sin don't have no dominion over me no more.
No.
I've been delivered from it.
Amen.
Amen. Colossians chapter 1, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be stand number 2 in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like stand number 2 outside of Christ.
No, sir.
I like him in Christ. And isn't
right.
this the story? Isn't this the message that we bring every Lord's Day, every day of our life, how we were once lost, but now we've been found. We were blind, but now we see. We've been redeemed from the darkness of Satan himself, from this world in which is designed to pull us down. We've been given, if you would, the mysteries of God.
Amen.
We've been now able to receive the goodness of God. Mm. Amen. Y'all still quiet. Y'all must not know who y'all are. Mm. Close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute. Think about that one thing in your life you did that you knew was horribly bad. You knew it was wrong. And God forgave you of that.
Amen.
He don't hold it on you no more. Mm. He ain't brought it up. Mm. Matter of fact, your guilt sometimes makes you think about it. And then the moment that you go to God in prayer about it again, Lord, I really hope you forgave me on that. God's looking at you like, forgave you for what? Why? Because he's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
As to remember it no more. Anybody want to shout? It's okay. It ain't Sunday. It's actually Saturday, y'all. Just say Exodus chapter 17. Let me share this with you again. Chapter 16, no doubt they were getting hungry and they needed some food and some water. He gave them some manna from heaven, allowed them to receive water from the rock. They get here to a point, chapter 17, they need another drink. And so again, at the Mount of Horeb, you know, Moses again smites the rock and they receive some water. But verse number 8, the Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain, of the hill, excuse me. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Lord, have mercy.
I'm going to close with this thought. When you know how gracious God is to you, and how merciful he is to you, that he would fight your battles, and you wouldn't have to worry about a thing, I don't care what it looks like. If you just, amen, discipline your mind, be dutiful in your actions, be dependent on God, the outcome is always in your favor. I know things will continue to toss back and forth. It'll get rough sometimes. You know, the devil gets at you with you trying to be faithful to God. But if you'll just be dutiful in your service to him.
Amen.
Train your mind to push the devil out the way.
Yeah.
And remember the words of God. You'll be sure to have success.
That's right.
And it's interesting to me because in this story you find that Moses tells Joshua, go fight. And it's at this time that Amalek is attacking them from the rear. You know why? He's thinking that possibly they're drained. We've heard about what they've had to do. We've heard about where they've come from. Maybe it's possible we can capture them by enslaving their minds because they were once enslaved. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
There's some good stuff in here. You know, and possibly we can pull him down. What are you saying? The devil hasn't changed his tactics today. He's looking for the weak. He's looking for the faint at heart. He's looking for folks who don't remember what God has done for them.
That's right.
So that he can attack you. And it's amazing because he tells Joshua go fight after choosing some men. Didn't I talk about committing stuff to faithful men?
Faithful.
You need some people around you is what I'm saying, who are going to stand strong when it's time to stand strong.
Amen.
Stand firm when it's time to stand firm. Amen.
Amen.
Hold up your hands. Hold up your hands. I know it's not traditional in the church. Put your Bible down. Put your stuff away, notes down. Just hold your hands straight up. Imagine Your job and your position is to hold your hands up while the people down there in the valley fight. Now, granted, you can hold your hands only so long before you grow tired. Moses did the same thing. So how long were you going to hold your hands up for Jesus? How long are you going to hang in there with him? Eventually, fatigue is going to set in.
Yeah.
Eventually, your body's not going to be able.
Yeah.
Will you allow that to derail your spiritual walk with the Lord? Are you going to allow the physical things that plague you to keep you from doing what he asked you to do?
No.
You know, you find Amalek, he's hoping that you put your hands down right now. Some of y'all don't want to keep him up. I get it. But let me tell you something. A soldier, he's going to endure affliction.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt when you get hit.
Yeah.
And trust me, you're going to get hit. But you don't stop just because it hurts. You got to keep moving.
That's right.
Amen. You got to be dutiful.
Yeah.
I know, so you may get one arm that just dies on you and you only got one left. Well, raise that one high. I get it. Y'all didn't know y'all was coming for the next time. But I want you to think about what that must have been like. Imagine Joshua looking up and seeing Moses' hands begin to drop because fatigue is setting in. I'm glad God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
I'm glad grace and mercy was there with even Moses.
Yes.
You know how I know? Grace and mercy was Aaron and her who went up there with him.
Yeah.
Some individuals who knew that if it got tired, I got you.
Yeah.
No problem.
We
gonna win this.
Amen.
Why? I'm gonna be dutiful.
Yeah.
And look at Aaron and her. They never complained about holding up Moses' arms.
Well,
I wish I had a church. I'd preach along. You don't get upset when you're always the one picking up the paper or emptying the trash. Folks see the trash overflowing and they walk on by and you don't. You don't get tired. You remain dutiful.
Dutiful.
Because your mind is disciplined. And you're dependent on God.
Amen.
Y'all tired? Yes. Yeah, y'all gave out. Ain't no shame in giving out. I get it. But remember what Paul told Timothy, when you pray, you ought to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to lift up holy hands.
Lift
up hands without doubting. What are you saying, Stan? Remember the story again there in Exodus 17. The Bible talks that, you know, when Moses' hands went down, Amalek prevailed. But as long as Moses' hands were up,
Good man.
Israel prevailed.
Good message.
Here's my point. It's not about the war in the valley of interaction. It's about the intercession on the mountaintop. You can let your head down. It's about understanding that in Christ, you have some grace and some mercy. That's the stuff that makes you commit yourself to him faithfully.
That's right.
You do what God asks you to do when you realize what he's done for you. And I'm like this as I close. If God don't do nothing else, he's done enough.
Amen.
The fact that he saved us is enough. And I appreciate a brother, he told me this not too long ago. If I get to the gates and God says, Stan, you're not going to make it. Stan, depart. I'll be okay with that. And I'll tell him, thank you, because you're righteous. I know. But here's my point. It's all about your mind. When you remember what he's done for you, you know he's never done you wrong.
Never.
And he never will. He's still here to this day taking care of you.
Yes.
How many of y'all sinned this week?
Amen.
I'm glad I got forgiveness.
Amen.
I'm glad there's intercession on the mountaintop.
He's so good.
He's a good God.
Yes, he is.
That's why we entrust our lives to him. That's why we willingly surrender our will to his will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of what he's done for us.
Amen.
So Abba Valley.
Yes.
Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worry about what the war in the valley looks like. Remember about the intercession going on the mountaintop.
Amen.
Because Joshua, I believe, looked up at Moses like, man, what's going on, Moses? But if Joshua could tell us, I think he probably would say he looked down a little bit further the course of time and he saw another man up there on the mountain. How quiet.
Yes.
I want to preach right along in there.
No, don't preach.
Because here Moses is standing on the mountain with a rod in his hand. Arms are stretched forward. But if you look a little further past Moses, you see Jesus on the mountain.
Yeah.
He's not holding a rod, he's nailed to a rod. Hand stretched forward. And he also has two occupants on both sides.
Come on, boy.
And he's still, if you would,
yeah,
making that same intercession on the mountain as he did on Calvary today.
Lord have mercy.
As he was back then.
Yeah.
So you keep fighting. And you smile.
Yes, sir.
Be like Nehemiah. Build the walls in the day and fight them jokers by night. The devil roll up on you, just tell him, yeah, that's all right. Jesus. Jesus. Sweet Jesus.
Amen.
Come get him. You know I got work to do. The devil get in your mind, he get you playing games and tricks on you. Tell him, Jesus.
Amen.
Come get him.
Come get him.
And let the Lord have his way with you. I'm through. Just wanted to encourage you with a few words. Keep fighting. His grace is sufficient. His grace is what you need.
Yeah.
He will sustain you.
Amen.